Well, if you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, and I know my children will be pleased to hear this, but this will be our last message in Job. Hopefully tonight we will wrap up our studies, and it is just a sketch through the book of Job. Like I say, it's worth taking some time and reading through, but hopefully it gives you some idea of what the book is about, and you won't get too confused about some of the passages. But we're going to read briefly from Job 1, and then we're going to read chapter 42 at the end. So Job 1 and verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all of the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless, an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." You can turn over to chapter 42 and we'll read the whole chapter together. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, 'Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?' Therefore I've uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, 'I will question you, and you shall answer me.' I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes." So it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your 2 friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter years of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second, Keziah, the name of the third, Keren-Happuch. In all the land there was found no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died, old and full of days. Well, come to the end of a remarkable book, a remarkable life. So we've been looking at this book of Job, and I know it's been over a protracted period of time, but just a quick reminder, we had an overview, we had a look at the terrible enemy, the devil, who's a destructive yet chained foe. Then we looked at the suffering saint, his character, his trials and his faith. Then we looked at his three friends, his good friends but bad theology. Remember, they started well. Elihu, a young but godly man. And then last time we met together, we looked at God speaking and how Job had a new view of God. We looked at some of the characteristics of God, his qualities, how lessons are not quickly learned, how as believers, God has to deal with us patiently and often teach us the same lesson again and again and again. We take a long time to learn things. And then we looked at the blessing of complete surrender to God, how we need to be as a child with a father. And we just looked at George Muller, how George Muller had, by prayer, equipped this orphanage and got everything in by prayer. And yet no girls turned up and they realised they hadn't prayed for girls to come to the home. So how everything has to be brought to God in prayer, how we need to be dependent on God for everything. So this evening we're going to close this series with God's glorious end for Job. And we're going to look at the glorious hope for Christians. And hopefully there'll be a few practical reminders from the book to take away at the end. So there's three things that we're going to look at tonight. First of all, Job's restoration as a minister, where he intercedes for his friends. Then Job's restoration in the eyes of the world, how all those people who fled away came back to him. And then God's glorious end for Job. Now, I know it's very hot, and I'll try to read on your faces whether you're following or not. But, I won't try not to be too long. So, firstly, Job's restoration as a minister from chapter 42. We'll be looking at chapter 42. We'll skip back a bit sometimes. But chapter 42, verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves seven bulls, seven rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So in the past, if you look through the book of Job, Job had been very blessed in usefulness for God. He'd looked after the orphans, he'd looked after the widows, he'd been able to care for those who were poor. And I won't go back through because of time, but there, if you look at Job 29, verse 12 to 17, and Job 31, 16 to 20, Job had been very blessed with being able to help people practically. He had a ministry of compassion, and he'd been, as it were, a judge amongst the people, making sure that they had justice. But now Job has to intercede for his three friends. And he's, as it were, restored spiritually to the role as a minister spiritually for his three friends, representing them before God. Now remember, Job is still sitting in the dust. He's not had God's blessing returned upon him. He's met God. He's had a new relationship with God. He's been revived, spiritually revived. He's had that encounter with God. And he said, I now see you. I knew you. I heard of you. But now I've seen you, God. And he has this deeper experience of God. But he's still in the dust. He's still there on the ash heap. He's still got all of his boils and his sores on his body. He's still lost his family. He's still lost everything. And yet, God tells his friends, go to Job and ask him to pray for me, for you. Well, these friends, remember, had treated Job quite cruelly. If you go back through the book of Job, they started off well. They sat with him and they listened to Job. But then they actually tore at him. They got at him and said, it's because of your sin, that's why you're being punished. It's because of sin in your life, some terrible thing you've not told us about. And they tore at him, even though he was so suffering. He was in a terrible place. Well, something I hadn't noticed until I started studying this, and it's in verse 10. It's interesting to see. Let's read verse 10 of chapter 42. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. That's quite interesting, isn't it? You know, God's blessing on Job, God returning his blessing on Job, and Job didn't know what was going to happen, remember? He didn't know God was going to restore all his goods to him and give him children and give him 140 years of life. He didn't know that. But these three friends had come to him there in the dust and asked Job to pray for him. Well, if Job hadn't prayed, I mean, I don't know how you would have felt, these three friends who had been so cruel to him, they're coming and saying to Job, please pray for us. Now, it's a really important lesson here to learn, in that when we've been offended, when we've been hurt by those around us, it's really important to learn from Job that we need to pray for our friends if they've been unkind to us. Sometimes people can hold on to things, they can have a grudge and they can treat us terribly. But you know, if we do not soften in our hearts towards those who come to us for forgiveness and asking us to pray for them, then the blessing won't come. Because if we're hard in our hearts towards our brothers and sisters in the Lord, no matter what they've done to us, then our relationship to God is damaged. Because if you turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4, you know this probably very well. 1 John is a remarkable book. But 1 John 4 and verse 20. 1 John 4 verse 20. This is what God says in his word. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And in Hebrews it talks about a root of bitterness, not allowing a root of bitterness to dwell in our hearts, to stay in our hearts. Now Job had to forgive his friends for God to pour blessing upon him. Now, if we have a situation in our life where we've been terribly treated by fellow believers, or it could be by unbelievers, and we've been wounded and offended and upset, it's We need to follow the example of Job. What we need to do is to pray for them. Now, we might not be able to go to them face to face. I've got certain situations in my own life where I can't emotionally go and speak to people face to face about certain things. But I can pray for them. And when you pray for them, God doesn't just bless them, but he actually changes us in our hearts as we pray for those who've offended us or hurt us. God softens our hearts and he deals with our hearts. So I found that a really helpful lesson from Job. God blessed him when he prayed for his friends. So that's the first lesson from this evening. Job restored as a minister. He was interceding. He was someone who God would listen to on behalf of others. The second thing is Job's restoration in the eyes of the world. So in verse 11, Job 42 verse 11, then all his brothers and his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Well, looking at time, we're not going to go back through the book, but you can yourself later on look at Job 19. And it talks about, Job says, all of my brothers have fled away. All of my sisters have fled. My family have left me. My friends have left me. He says, even my servants, when I call their name, they don't come. They just ignore me. Everybody left him. As soon as Job lost everything, he was there sitting in the dust. All of his friends left him. Well, that's truly, sadly, truly the case quite often in this world. The world is very fickle. People are fickle. You know that from the parable of the prodigal. The prodigal, when he left home with all of his money, he had loads of friends, didn't he? All of these people wanted to enjoy him spending his money. But when the money ran out, all of his friends left him. And that's what happened with Job. Now, Ed recently spoke about the subject of true friendship. What is true friendship? And we need to make sure that we are true friends to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to stand with them, to pray for them and with them. I'm terrible at this. When somebody, you see somebody struggling, you can think, oh yeah, what you need to do is this, what you need to do is this. Well, actually, the best thing to do is to sit and listen. Listen to them and to pray with them and share the scriptures with them. And that's a lesson. It's taken me a long time and I'm still learning it. But to be a good friend. Now, the world returned to Job when his wealth returned. But remember, the world is fickle and it can go as soon as it's come. So you can have many friends because you're popular or successful or things are going well. But the world won't stand with you when trouble comes. So we have the second point, Job's restoration in the eyes of the world. And I'm sure he was useful again. That usefulness that he had before, where he was able to show kindness, he was able to, those that were treated unfairly, he would make sure that they had justice. The widows would be cared for, orphans would be cared for. He could have quite an impact, a massive impact on the society around him. And we need to also have that impact on the world around us. And then lastly, God's glorious end for Job. And it is a wonderful end. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. After this, Job lived 140 years, and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died, old and full of days. If you remember, we looked in the book of Job, some of our thoughts, we looked at how Job had got so low at times in the book of Job. And there were high points, but there were many low points. And he'd actually cried out to God to take his life, to end his life, to finish it. It'd be better if I was never born. It'd be better if I was in the grave. And that's, you can understand how he felt like that, because he had nothing, as it were. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. He had no material things. He was physically in a terrible state. But how much Job would have missed if God had answered his prayers. You look at the end of Job's life. 140 years of life God gave him. And they can't be sure about this, but many of the commentators say his life after this experience was longer than his life before. And the blessing certainly was greater after than his life before. We don't know how long Job's trials lasted, how long the book of Job covers. But certainly his life afterwards, his trials, was blessed. And also, surely he would have been a greater spiritual blessing to those people around him. And when you look at Job's encounter with God, we looked at last time, is where Job said, look, I knew you, but I've seen you now, God. And he had this revived life. He went for a spiritual revival in his own life. And when that happens to a Christian, that Christian can't help but be a blessing to the people around him. And it's clear from what we read here that Job was an amazing blessing to the people around him. People flocked to him. People wanted to be near him. His children were blessed. His grandchildren to four generations. That's an amazing thing. I've got grandchildren, but I don't think I'll see my grandchildren to four generations. What an amazing blessing that he had. God would use Job in the society around him. And we need to also, as believers, to be that blessing in the society around us. We need to be, as the Bible talks, salt and light in this world. This world is getting clearly worse and worse, the society around us. The laws that are getting passed, I'm looking at the news on the way back tonight, and you think we've got a prime minister who tells lies and does almost what he wants. And, you know, almost you can get away with anything in today's society. There doesn't seem to be any truth or anyone you can rely on as honest. Well, we need to be people that people can rely on. We need to be people with integrity. We need to be people who stand up for those who are facing injustice, those that are poor and widows and orphans and people that are in need. We need to have a heart for this world around us. So after this additional 140 years of life, that eye of faith that Job had, you remember in the middle of the book, Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives and he will stand on the earth. And he says, I will see him with my eye, with my physical eyes, I will see him. Job had that eye of faith, but at the end of his life, he stepped out of faith into reality. He stepped into the presence of God, his Redeemer. He saw his Redeemer. He met him. He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't know what Jesus would do on the earth. He only had a very small part of the Old Testament available to him. And yet with the eye of faith, he saw his Redeemer, and as he died, he stepped into the very presence of God. And that's where he lives now. He's with his Redeemer. He's with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. He passed from this life, and he opened his eyes, and he saw his Saviour. And I was just thinking back about my dad. My dad held on to that verse, you know, I know my Redeemer lives. and my dad also is in the presence of our Saviour. Well, for us as believers, that's a glorious hope, isn't it? What a wonderful thing. We don't need the material blessing that Job had, but we can be a spiritual blessing to the world around us. We can be that example, that salt and light. And we can live as people who are not bound to this earth, who have an eye on heaven, an eye on eternity. So just a few lessons to take away before we come to prayer. Remember, trials are often not due to sin in people's lives. Of course, we've all got sin in our lives, but God might not be punishing them for a specific sin. God might be working in their life to bring them closer to Him, taking away all of the comforts, taking away all of the things that we rely on, all of our props, all of the things that are important in our lives. God might be taking those away so that we have a clearer view of God Himself. So that's important to remember that. And when we see a brother or sister going through times of trouble and really struggling, we need to be a good friend and we need to come alongside. That second point is to be a good friend is to sit and listen to them, to sit and pray with them, to sit and maybe read scripture with them, to guard our tongues, to be careful, not to have quick answers, glib answers. And I'm as guilty as anyone at that. So be a good friend. And then the last thing I think is probably the most important thing is that with God there is always an after. We all go through trials and difficulties, but with God there's always an after. Now, you think, when I thought about this, I thought about those people who went to their death, at the stake, and they didn't have an after in this world. We often have an after our trials, don't we? We have, we go through a hard time, but God brings us through, and we're perhaps restored, and we have perhaps a closer walk with God, and a new experience of God. But these people, their after was with God. The thief on the cross, his after was with God. You know, you'll be with me today in paradise. And but there's always an after with God. Remember, and I've said to my children before, God is on the throne. You know, if that's something we can take away from the book of Job, God is sovereign. God is in control. Whatever we face, God is there in control. He is on the throne. So, brothers and sisters, I hope the book of Job has been a help. I was quite frightened about looking at the book of Job before actually studying it. Because there's some confusing things in there, but there are some real blessings in there as well. So do delve into it. Do read in the book of Job, and you can see where people go wrong, and you can see some of the things. Well, they got that right, but that was not right. It can be quite helpful for us. It's a very honest book. I hope that's been a help to us.